But thought, okay, not going to happen this time, but oh well. So it's the heavenly chorus, the angels. I'm done, goodbye. What do you do after that? It's always great to be out here. We're going to give a title to this word. let's call it Holding Fast. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. We'll start there. First Corinthians 15 and...
just in case.
Yeah. Well, when you're around people you love and you're with people you love, you know, there's times where you laugh and there's times where you cry and there's a time where you just enjoy each other. So it's a wonderful thing. We have a... how great is our God? I mean, you know that old song says, "How great thou art." And sometimes I think it's a question, how great is he? I mean, it's just beyond what we can fathom, how great God is. Scripture says that he sings over you. I think it's in Zephaniah. He talks about how the Lord sings over you. He rejoices over us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start with verse 1 and verse 2. It says, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand. We have the word preached to us, we receive it, and it's the thing that helps us to stand, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. The word does many things for us. In verse 2, he says, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And Philippians 2. Remember those words, if you hold fast. Turn to Philippians 2. And it's... we'll start with verse 14. It says, hold fast the word which I preached to you unless you believed in vain. And now in Philippians 2, it says, so then, my beloved, in verse 12, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. There comes a time in our lives where we go through many things, and we're going to read in the book of Matthew about John the Baptist. But there's a time in your life where it seems like the only thing you can do is hold fast to the word that God's given you. We hold fast to his promises. Paul writes in the Philippians and Corinthians, and he encouraged them, hold fast to the word, lest you've run in vain, lest I've toiled in vain. You know, you watch football games, and we were privileged enough to be able to go up and see our son play. And the one thing you don't want a running back to do is in the last quarter, and you're ahead, or if you're behind a little, is to let go of the ball and fumble the ball. When he runs into traffic through the line, you want him holding that ball tight. You know, Paul talks about foolish Galatians, why did you, you know, you turn back from the Spirit and you go back into the law? But it talks about this. I was thinking about this in football. The guy's running with the ball and he's running and he gets careless and someone comes up and strips him. And offensive linemen hate that. They hate fumbles because they work their way down the field, working so hard, getting hit every play, going through all the violence of the game, everything else that's involved in the game, and to see someone just drop the ball at the very end is disheartening. You want them to hold fast. You want them to hold on to that. And I know in our lives, if there's one thing that keeps us alive, keeps us going, is we hold on. We hold fast to that word. Remember Paul wrote to Timothy? He says, remember the faith that was in your grandmother, was in your mother, and now it's in you. And even in Timothy, he tells him to hold fast to that word. Hold on to that faith. There's something about just holding on. Circumstances may lead you to let go. It may lead you to fumble away what you've believed and held on to for so long. But there's something in our heart that where we hold fast to the word, it keeps us going. We're not going to, our walk is not in vain. Paul is saying, hold on to it. So the things that I've worked for won't be in vain. Hold on to that word. Doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, you're young or you're old. Hold on to the word that the Lord has given us. Let's look in the book of Matthew. We're going to read a little bit about John the Baptist. And Matthew chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 17. It says, now in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Verse 10, he says, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Remember that these verses. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We know the story that of John the Baptist, how Mary and Elizabeth, they were relatives. I think somewhere it says they were cousins, or they were related. You know, the angel told Mary, your relative Elizabeth is with child also. So there was a blood relationship between John and Jesus. And we know that, I think it's in the Gospel of Luke, John talks about how he who sent me said that I would see the Spirit falling on him. He'll come as a dove. John recognizes who the Lord is. Let's look at Matthew 11. And we're going to read 1 through 19. But before we do, if you'll indulge me a little bit, I received a gift this Christmas. You know, we go through life, and we can sometimes question what's going on about us. We sometimes question our relationships because let's face it, things change. And it helps when someone comes by and says, look, let's look at the old album. Let's look at the way things are, the way things were, the things that were in the beginning of your life. Look back at those. Remember the scripture says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are righteous, think upon these things. There are times when we sometimes because of our circumstances, we get into situations where we think, well, I don't know what's going on anymore. My relationships are changing. People are changing around me, and I'm having difficulty adjusting to that. And that's life. I mean, that's the way things are. And we can sometimes forget, or those memories get clouded. And we need to go back at times and look at those. And sometimes it's someone who comes and reminds you of those things. Well, remember when this, remember, look, and it meets your heart, and you think back at the way that things were. You know, Paul says he forgets the things that lay behind and presses on. But I think there's things that lay behind that we're not to forget, that God brings to our remembrance. He opens up a photo album of us, and he says, this is the way I think about you. Remember that. Sure, lay aside the old things, the old things that kept you down, the old things that kept you in bondage, but this is the way I think about you. In Matthew 11, we're following John the Baptist. Matthew 11, and keep in mind what we just read in the beginning. When John sees Jesus at the river, and he says, this is the Son of God. I saw that. Everything that the Spirit had told him, you'll see the dove land on him. He's going to be the one. At that time, John says, I'm not worthy to untie his sandal. Remember, he said that the Lord, he must increase and I must decrease. I don't know how long this was from that time until Matthew 11, and let's read that. It says in verse 1, when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? Here's a man who witnessed the Holy Spirit in a physical form as a dove land on Jesus. Here's a man who had a revelation that I'm not fit to untie his shoes. And yet he's thrown into circumstances. You can say, well, was John doubting? I don't know. Sounds to me like he was. Are you the one? Or should we expect someone else? This isn't quite turning out the way I thought. I'm now in prison. I'm unsure. Don't we all get into those circumstances? I'm not sure anymore. This isn't turning out the way I thought it was when I first signed up for this thing. When I first got involved in this, I saw the glory of God and I saw all these things happening. Now I'm in this part of my life where I'm in prison. Maybe not physically, but things that are around me. So he sends his disciples and he says, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. He didn't say what a doubter he's become. He didn't say, "Oh, John, what happened? Come on, cuz, what happened with you? You know, we were doing so well." What does Jesus do? He opens up the family album. He opens up what's God's pictures of John in his heart. And he says, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In verse 18, he says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by your deeds." He's talking about John, and he brings out that, he reminds the people that which John really was. He goes, "Let me show you. John, you're doubting? You're in prison, things aren't going too well. You're about to give your life for the principles of the kingdom. Let me open up the family album and show you what I think about you." And Jesus says, "You go back and you tell him this." And what did he tell him? He said, "The blind receive sight and the lame walk and the lepers." This he's quoting out of Isaiah when Jesus presented himself. And he took from the book of Isaiah and he opened it up and he read about himself, that he would open up the eyes of the blind, heal the lame. He was reminding John, "You go back and you tell him. Let me remind you, John, of the word, of the vision that you had at that very beginning. That's what I want you to remember. Don't think about the things that are imprisoned you. I'm not going to judge you on your failings. I'm not going to judge you according to your doubts. But let me remind you. Let me open up God's photo album of you. Let me share with you what God thinks about you." And he starts reminding John about that. Let's look at Matthew 14. Verse 14, we'll read verse 1 through 14. It says, "At that time Herod heard the news about Jesus and said to his servants, 'This is John the Baptist. He was risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him.' For when Herod had John arrested, he bound him and put him in prison because of his wife, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Although Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd because he regarded John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughters danced before him and pleased Herod, so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Having been prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me here on the platter the head of John the Baptist.' Although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given because of his oath and because of his dinner guests. And he sent and had John beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took away the body and buried it. And they went and reported to Jesus. In verse 13, now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. He went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When Jesus heard about John, it says he withdrew. He went in a boat into a secluded place by himself. And I'm wondering, what was Jesus thinking about? He had humanity just like us. Did he withdraw and start thinking about John and the word that was within him? About, I wonder if he thought back to the time of the Jordan, time of his baptism. I wonder if he started thinking about the things, the relationship that he and John had. Yeah, he doubted me while he was in prison, but I sent word to strengthen him. He didn't lose heart. John the Baptist held fast the word. John is killed for the gospel's sake, and Jesus withdraws. Then he turns and he starts healing the sick. The compassion starts flowing out from him. I think there's times in our lives where we know we are in a place that seems barren, that maybe it appears that we're forgotten. But it's time for us to remember what the Lord says about us. And I don't mean some prophetic utterance over your life, but I mean the words that the Lord has given us. Words like, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. Words like, my peace I give you. My joy. You have my joy in you. Words that say, we can't fathom the love of God within our hearts. What does Paul say? No height, no depth. Well, I mean, that scripture just goes on and on that can separate us from the love of God. We're in these times of doubt or questioning. Hold fast to the word. Hold fast to that. Don't hold on to it all, you know, 59 minutes of like on a football game and you drop it in the last minute. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to the word of life, Paul tells us. What is that word of life? It's the Lord Jesus himself. It says our relationship with him. When John the Baptist was doubting, he said, are you the one, or should we look for someone else? Jesus comforted him, sent back word. It's me. I'm still the one. John, I'm still the one. Rejoice in what's happening. Rejoice in what I'm doing. And I believe he did that. We all need words of encouragement. We all need to hold fast. You know why the Bible says love one another? Be kind to one another? So we don't know when people are going through these things of doubt, times of doubt, times of imprisonment. It says provoke one another to good works. Paul tells Timothy to stir up the gift that was in you by the laying on of my hands. Rekindle afresh. A lot of times we get bogged down in our circumstances, things going on around about us. But you know what? It just takes someone reminding you of what it was like. You know, when David the psalmist commits adultery and murder, in Psalm, was it 51, I believe, he says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. There's times that we go through things. We say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. That which I had in the beginning. You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about how they held fast. They held on to that word. They cling to that word that they had from the beginning. In the Epistle of John, written some, 60, 70, maybe 80 years, he tells them, a new commandment I give you. It's not a new commandment, though. But I'm going to remind you of the one that we received at the beginning. Love one another. Remember that? Remember that one? He says, that which we touch, which we handle, the word of life, we need to sometimes help one another to remember that. We need to help one another hold fast to that word. And the Lord bless us this morning. No matter what we're going through, His word is true. He is faithful. He will always be there for us. We need to hold fast to that word of life. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Beautiful word this morning. When the revelation came about holding fast, and I like the analogy of carrying the football, you know, it's where we hold the word. We hold it in our heart, you keep it close to your chest, you can get hit pretty hard and it still stays where it's supposed to. But I think when you hear that, what it stirs up often, and if that's all we hear in our religious side, is I got to be more dedicated, got to work harder, do something different. And it was so beautiful the way this revelation unfolded. Holding fast, the only way we can hold fast is with God's help. And God, again, opens up that remembering for us, giving us the big picture, showing us how He feels about us. I love the analogy, the photo album. Seeing the truth, just like Jesus opened up for John the Baptist. Being human, we're prone to fumble. We're prone to self-doubts, discouragements. God does not condemn us for that. He comes forth with His love and says, in order for you to hold fast this word of life in your heart, you're going to need greater revelation. You're going to need to see how I see you, the pictures I've taken of you over the years. To be able to remember, let the Holy Spirit bring all things back to remembrance of what I've done in your life and for you. And that's how we minister to one another. As the love flows, there's that revelation, being able to remember all that God has done for us and in us. So Lord, we're so thankful this morning. We don't have it in our flesh to hold fast. We want to. We're still going to fumble unless your grace is working in our life. Open the eyes of our heart to be able to see all the pictures you've taken of us. To be made aware who you've been to us, who you are in us. And as we can see our lives through your eyes, that word is going to stay tightly bound in our heart, like with Mary. Nothing can take the word out of our heart. We thank you, Lord, for the word of life this morning and for the grace that you've ministered this word to our hearts with. We just can't do it without you. In Timothy, it says, even when we're not faithful, He still remains faithful to us. Thank you for that faithfulness, Lord. Amen. Oh, what a word. Let's sing a song together in closing this morning. Close the service as we began with worship. If I could call the musicians up one more time. Let's all stand.